we're going to bring John Molinaro in. He's our chief soccer reporter at Sportsnet. And maybe John can walk us through how they can clinch. John, how can they clinch this weekend? You've got 2 minutes. Go.
Oh, God. Well, they have to win outright, first of all. Mm-hmm. And then there's a whole bunch of different scenarios. I think the easiest one is Montreal would have to lose against, forget who they're playing, I think New York. So mm-hmm. that's the easiest sense. But they have to win, and then they need help.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was a lot more complicated than that. I must have misread it, but anyhow. Okay, well, thanks. Thanks for taking all the wind out of my sails there. That's fine.
No problem.
I have no problem with it. What's the biggest concern for Greg Vanney coming back from the international break?
Probably just international hangover. And it's interesting you bring this up because I actually asked him about that. If, you know, players returning from international duty kind of suffer from any kind of malaise. And, you know, and he's played international football as a former defender for the U.S. national team. And he said, yeah, it's quite common. It's especially when you're talking about players coming back, traveling from quite distance, right? The U.S. was down in Honduras, and that's a pretty intimidating place to play. And, you know, when you kind of change your routine and change your sleeping habits and change, eating habits and all that, it can throw you a little bit off. So, and he had, you know, a number of players away, not just Jozy Altidore and Michael Bradley, but also, the Canadian players, although they were here in town. So I think that's something that has to be, he's a little leery of, worried about happening when they play against San Jose tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess the only other question is going to be, is going to be health with this team, right? Really, as we're talking about the run to the end of the season, John, we can talk about playoff scenarios and when they might clinch, but, really the only concerns here would be any kind of health issues down the stretch, wouldn't they?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And, I mean, aside from, Nick Hagman and Benoit Cheyrou, they're pretty healthy.
Yeah.
And they have incredible depth. And so I think that's obviously a concern. But at the same time, I think he wants to balance that with giving guys rest and also sort of working guys into the lineup and giving some playing time to guys who haven't necessarily played a lot this year. Jonathan Osorio is a perfect example. He was, pretty much a regular starter last year. And I think he's only played, around 300 minutes this year. And, I suspect that Osorio is someone that Vanney wants to get going down this final stretch because you never know when injuries are going to happen. And you want to have all hands on deck come the playoff time. So I think that's the challenge that he faces a little bit is, sort of managing his players, giving guys rest, but also bringing in guys off the bench to, get them going and get them a little bit of momentum ahead of the playoffs.
John, when you look at at San Jose, and I know you talked to, reading your article in Sportsnet.ca, you talked to Vanney about this. What problems could they potentially present Toronto FC? I mean, they do have Chris Wondolowski, who's a guy who has a habit of scoring goals, but are there any other problems that they may present?
Well, I think Wondolowski is a big one. He's certainly an experienced striker and someone who has traditionally had a great time playing against Toronto FC. I was looking it up earlier today, and I think it was something like 6 goals in 5 games or something like that. I mean, he's just an experienced player who really sort of knows how to find the back of the net, and he seems to have great experience doing that against TFC. I think just overall they're a pretty balanced side, much in the same way as TFC, in that they have a couple of weapons up front that can hurt you, and they're pretty balanced in midfield and in defense. So this is going to be a tough challenge for the Reds, I think, tomorrow.
Let's say if we can just turn over to the Premiership for a little bit, John, because it's early days in the season. Interesting match coming up, the early match on Saturday, though, Liverpool going to Manchester City. Goals will be scored, I believe, because I'm not sure either of those sides defends particularly well. so it could be fun. But I want to ask you about Liverpool. Obviously with the Coutinho question being settled again, look sort of like they have looked at other times under Klopp, which is that they can score, but you kind of wonder if they can lock down at all when they have to. They will be a blast to watch. I assume they're going to be a top four team this year, but do they have the potential to be something more than that?
Liverpool? I don't really think so.
Yeah.
Unless you know, in the January transfer window, they sort of make a major move to improve defensively, I think that's going to be their downfall. I mean, they can score goals. I don't think there's any question about that. But, you know, in terms of, you know, shutting down the opposition, they don't have what I would call like a stud sort of defender, someone who can quarterback the back line and really help, you know, the defense lock things down and shut out an opponent. They don't have anyone like that. You look at sort of all the other sort of, you know, major contenders, they have someone like that, David Luiz with Chelsea, or, you know, Tottenham has some quality defenders as well. I look at Liverpool's defensive core, and I don't really see anyone that's, you know, you would rate as a quality center back, someone, as I said, who can sort of lead that back line. So I think that's going to be their, you know, Achilles heel for most of the season, unless they go out in the January transfer window and address that.
Well, it'll be fun watching them try and win 4-3. Like, that's, it's great if you're, you know, if you're a neutral, it's a blast to watch, but, you know, it's probably not the most efficient way to try and win the league.
No, probably not. And I don't necessarily think it's probably how Klopp wants to play. I mean, I know he likes to attack, and he's really into, you know, sort of pressing the issue. But I suspect, you know, the way that Liverpool leaks goals, you know, grates on his nerves a little bit.
Hey, what did you make of the decision to change the date of the closing of the transfer window in the Premiership to a couple of days before the start of the regular season, as opposed to a month or so into the regular season? I mean, my first reaction was, I thought, okay, this is great. I mean, I see the benefit of it. But then, you know, I wonder, John, does it mean anything if other leagues don't do it as well? I mean, for example, does it give La Liga or the Bundesliga or Serie A an edge that their windows will be open later than the Premierships?
Well, I had very much the same response as you, Jeff. I said, yeah, okay, this is great for the Premier League, but unless the rest of Europe gets on board, I don't really see the, you know, the point of it all that much, because even when the Premier League window closes, Serie A teams or Bundesliga teams or La Liga teams can still sort of, you know, buy and, you know, dip into the market and you know, purchase Premier League players. So I think it's really something that is long overdue. I just would like to see it across, you know, European, all the top European leagues, because it's kind of unfair to, I think the whole idea of like a window closing after a season starts is just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You should really sort of have this in place before the season starts, so teams kind of are all on a level playing field and they know what they're doing, to sort of extend it after the season starts. It's, you know, only in soccer would something like this happen. It's, it's a bit ridiculous.
What would there be any, you know, beyond sort of, I guess, the benefit of having a unified code, would there be any benefits to those other leagues to adopting the same practice the Premier League is adopting? I know, just reading in The Guardian, there is some thought that the Bundesliga is sort of moving towards this as well. Mm-hmm. But the Bundesliga generally, I mean, they generally don't prey on the available players out of the Premiership, do they? More often than not, it seems the Bundesliga and the Premiership, it's either a loan situation or kind of a mutually confirmed situation with that league.
Yeah, I think if you look at the Bundesliga, it's traditionally, you know, top teams like Bayern or Dortmund, they'll traditionally feast on teams below them in the German league. They won't necessarily go to the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
Or any other league. So, but you know, it's still nice to have that option, right?
Yeah.
It still sort of leaves that open to them. And especially in Spain, where they're not too shy about, you know, splashing around money. You can like look back to a couple of years ago when Real Madrid paid that exorbitant transfer fee for Gareth Bale. You know, that option is still open to them after the Premier League window closes. So I do think it gives the other countries a little bit of an advantage.